That continuity announcer is a National Theatre player and is currently appearing in Anton Chekhov's The Cherry Orchard as Cherry. But now...
Hospital Radio proudly presents A Seat at the Movies.
Yes, while you enjoy the comfort of your bed, or perhaps relax on the operating table as you have your legs shortened, we will bring you all the thrills and spills of a night at the cinema. Tonight's main feature...
Son of Cliché!
Present Son of Cliché, written by Rob Grant and Doug Naylor, starring Christopher Barry, Nick Maloney, Nick Wilton, music by Pete Brew.
Yes, welcome to A Seat at the Movies here on Hospital Radio. But first...
For the convenience of those patients who prefer not to be near people screaming in pain, the sleeping area on the right-hand side of the ward has been designated a no-agonized shrieking area. Your cooperation is appreciated.
But now, before the main feature, to capture the authentic feel of an evening at the cinema, some local adverts.
Hello, my name is Fred Gorman. Have you ever noticed when company bosses appear on commercials advertising their own companies? They always talk very stilted and stupid sounding. Not only that, the inflection is always wrong. If you are a company boss and you are thinking of appearing on TV, then why not phone me at the Fred Gorman Voice Training School and present yourself properly. Remember, Fred Gorman's Voice Training School. For training. Vocally.
At last, here's your chance to join the Heritage Coffee Table Book Club.
Add that touch of beauty to your home with our leatherette hardback collection. Each one lovingly embossed with gold flake. Books that look and smell really posh.
And as a special introductory offer, we give you the chance to choose three books you don't want. And then give you another book you don't want absolutely free.
Then each month you need only take one book you don't want, and we'll send you three other books you don't want, together with a bill you don't want either.
Here is a selection of some of our wonderful titles.
Florentine Art Treasures.
Great Cheeses of Europe. A Pictorial History.
The Coca-Cola Story.
The Sid Vicious Keep Fit and Dance Book.
So, send off the coupon and join the Heritage Coffee Table Book Club. The book club for people who don't read books.
Breakaway day!
Tired of living in London, weary of the crowds, the traffic, the noise, feel like finding some peace and quiet and solitude, then why not get beaten up in Leicester Square? You'll be amazed how quickly the bustling crowds will disappear, leaving you in quiet, restful solitude with the gang of youths who are doing you over. Time to meditate, time to collect your thoughts in isolated splendor in the heart of the city. So go with Mugger Tours. For the price of having your head kicked in, we'll give you a break to remember.
Think you can handle it? Think you're tough enough? Think you've got a bottle? Then join the Detestables. Become a security guard today. Have you got what it takes to sit in a porter cabin all day reading the Daily Mirror? Can you handle night duty? Or aren't you up to playing the fruit machine and drinking endless cups of coffee in between a quick kip and watching some videos? And have you got those special qualities we look for? The guts to turn away people who've forgotten their ID cards, even when you know them, even if you're married to them. If you've got the petulance and the tetchiness and you can do the star crossword, you can suck parliaments and balance a pencil behind your ear, there's a job waiting for you with the security guards. So pop along to your security guard recruitment centre and sign up, if they let you through the door. Remember, we don't accept just anybody. You have to apply.
Well, some nice adverts there. And now on hospital radio, before our main feature, a seat at the cinema, a message to Mandy from Dave in the throat ward. But now, Doctor's Round. A behind-the-scenes look at Dr. Rogers' morning round.
Bucketson, who's next?
It's a private patient, sir.
Come on, man.
In a private ward?
Naturally. Who is it, man? Duckworth.
It's your wife, sir.
Duckworth, it is not my wife. While she's in this hospital, she is a patient. And she's in for what, Bucketson?
Because she's ill, sir.
Duckworth.
For observation, sir?
To a doctor, gentlemen, the human body is a machine. A machine it is his duty to repair. You can have no emotional feelings regarding a machine. Bucketson, what's going on in here? Well, man?
Don't know, sir.
What are the symptoms?
Raised body temperature, reddening of the skin, dilated pupilla.
And?
Creaking bed spring, sir.
Therefore?
She's got Guatemalan Crocsbury fever, sir.
Duckworth?
Has it got anything to do with the gentleman with her, sir?
It has indeed. A man and a woman together. Creaking bed springs. What is it, Bucketson?
They're not practicing for a trampolining competition, are they, sir?
Duckworth?
I think it's infidelity, sir.
Very good. Excellent. Chronic infidelity. Cause? Bucketson?
Lack of vitamin C, sir.
Duckworth?
You, sir?
Me, yes. How?
Come on,
man.
Your inadequacy, sir.
More specific, Duckworth.
Your inadequacy to respond to her both as a human being and as a husband.
No, Duckworth, it's because she's a cow. Bucketson, what's the prognosis?
It's the sticking out thing on the end of an elephant, sir.
That's Bucketson, you idiot, that's the proboscis. Duckworth, what's the prognosis?
No cure, sir.
Yes, sadly not. All right, Bucketson, who's next?
She said it was me, sir.
Having trouble with your car?
MOT, service, or breakdown?
Drop in at Evans Autos, your local cock-up specialist.
Pop through the silly little hatch in the garage door.
And our A1 fully trained card-playing mechanics will ignore you while you call out, hello, hello, is there anybody there?
Within hours, a greasy oil-spattered assistant will emerge from his smelly little office, clutching a centrefold from Spanking Monthly, which he hasn't finished pinning up yet, and talk down to you as if you've got the brain of a retarded chimpanzee.
He'll make you feel guilty because you haven't looked after your car like it was the ceremonial carriage of the Royal Prince of Bavaria.
So, drop in at Evans Autos, your local humiliation expert.
Pump number three.
Yeah, can I help you?
Yes, I'd like to pay for my petrol.
Yeah, what pump are you?
Number three.
Would you like anything else?
No, thank you.
How about some plastic tumblers?
No, thanks.
Yeah, key ring? We got some nice key rings.
No.
Yeah, do you need a stuffed orange kangaroo?
No.
Teddy bear?
Just the petrol.
Digital radio clock, pen, calculator, only 35p?
No.
Suntan oil? Very witty car stickers? When I grow up, I want to be a Porsche?
No. No, thanks. I already have one.
Oh, brake light D, mister?
No, thanks.
Yeah, how about a cassette? We got lots of cassettes.
No.
Yeah, Mrs. Mills plays party songs.
I haven't got a cassette player.
Oh, do you want to buy one?
No, I want to pay for my petrol and buy a can of oil.
Oh, I suppose you've got a rubber swimming pool.
Yes.
Car freshener that smells like the baby's just been sick?
No. No.
You're very hard to please.
I'm not hard to please, I just want some oil.
Cigarettes, chocolate, a side of beef.
Just oil.
How about a lawnmower?
Haven't got a lawn.
Do you want one?
No, just the petrol and the oil. Can I have the oil, please?
We don't sell oil.
Why not?
No room. We got cooking oil.
Everyone in Tennessee, they knew about this man who never faced up to a fight. He always turned and ran. They nicknamed him Old Yeller, and he lived up to his name. Everybody bullied him, even the sick and lame. Old Yeller was a coward, so they say. But they all forget that night in Monterey. One day while he was out of work, the Yaxley boys called round. And when he came back home that night, his darling wife he found. He said, "Who did this, Lucy?" As a tear welled in his eye, Keith Yaxley and his brothers, came Lucy's weak reply. Old Jeller was a coward, so they say, but they all forget that night in Monterey. As he stood at the barroom door, every head turned round. The roulette wheel stopped spinning. You couldn't hear a sound. Old Jeller turned and locked the door, pushed back his hat and frowned. He said, "Boys, this here's for Lucy," as his pants dropped to the ground. The Yaxley boys, they stood as one. They fought like a cornered rat. But Jeller wanted his revenge. He wouldn't stand for that. One by one they came at him, and one by one they fell. He dropped them, then he had them all, and the bartender as well. Old Jeller was a coward, so they say, but the Yaxley boys still hobble to this day. And they don't forget that night in Monterey.
Hospital Radio.
Radio 1, it belongs in the John.
Hey, it's the Funk Master here. Hey, it's Funk Master, 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 Master. Hey, hi there, Funk fans. This is your leader, the Funk Master.
Funk Master, Funk Master, Funk Master. Da, 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 da.
Hey, wow, get on down. Gotta move around to the funkiest sounds around.
Funky sounds. Ka-dunk, ka-dunk, ka-dunk.
Hey, yeah. Get doing it, people. Do it.
Do it, people.
Now, here, this here's the Funk Master, the Doctor of Disco, saying you've got me for 1 hour, 60 whole minutes of totally vacuous, quasi-American cack.
Vacuous.
Ooh, hey. Gonna be spinning through the grooves of the funkiest plastic they ever let out the factory. We got the Funky Cat himself, Michael Jackson, on the program, on the vinyl, on the record player. Hey, I know what you're thinking. So what?
So what?
Hey, wrap your mouths around that, lovers. Hey, what do you know, nigga? Won't you believe it? I come from Stockport. Yeah, but they made me leave. Wow. Hey, communicated from Stockport for talking like a loony. Loony. Hey, loony. Hey, I like that one. Loony. Hey, that's a great jingle. Okay, enough of the chat. Hey, you had enough of the chat 3 minutes ago. Hey, let's have some music, oh. Gonna take you back in time. Way, way, way back in time. In the Funk Master's time machine. Way, 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 way back in time. Through the veils. Off time to August. Get down, get down. I say, get on down. Get down. I say, get down, get on down, get down. Here, get on down. I knew I should never brought my dog in the studio. Get on down. Hey, why don't you check out the old sundial? Well, looks like we run out of time. The old hands on the clock beat the beat, the beat up. Yeah.
Shut up, you vacuous half-wit.
Hey, this has been the Funk Master. Sorry about no music. Hope you enjoyed the jingles. Get on, get on, get on with it. Good night. Salut, au revoir, CAO. And remember, Funk fans, if you're driving home, always use a car. Bye.
And blow dry, is it?
Yes. I would like it closely cropped on the skull region with a long plait over each ear.
What about your second head?
My second head, I wish to be completely shaven.
What about your third head?
My final head shall remain uncropped, save for a single blue streak which shall bisect my occipital and parietal regions thus.
Do you want any conditioner?
No. No. Yes.
You've been here before, have you?
No.
I thought not. I thought I hadn't seen you before. What do you do then for a living?
I'm His Royal Magnificence, the Crown Prince Fedor, heir to the stellar regions of the Galactic Empire, hereditary duane of the powers of lightness, sworn to defend through time and space the golden orb of wisdom.
Ah. How'd you get into that lock, then?
I had to undergo the birth of fire, recapture the seventh golden link of Thrix's mystic chain, and slay the invisible demon, guardian of the Crystal Mountain.
Don't need O-levels, then.
O-levels? What be O-levels?
Oh, you need O-levels for this job. Three. I suppose that's why you never got into my game, then. No O-levels, you can kiss goodbye to a career in hairdressing.
Hairdressing? I was tutored by Tharog, the ancient Thane of Crygo, who took me to the seventh plane of wisdom and gave unto me knowledge of all things.
But not to O-level standard.
O-level standard?
Yeah, if he taught you to O-level standard, I mean, you'd have some O-levels, wouldn't you? You know, at least something to fall back on should the galactic ruling lot fall through. Chloe, could you get us a cup of coffee, please? Do you want a coffee?
No, for I am pledged to thirst until I have vanquished the dark power of Mogador and his hordes of evil faceless ones.
Tea?
Hospital radio.
Hospital radio phoning. The lines are open, so why not give us a call on 01-246-8044-88-7124-437-8965-009 if you're having problems with your memory.
And now the return of the listener's complaints program. I've got nothing better to do than listen to radio and television programs and then sit down and waste even more of the precious short time we have on this earth by writing in and complaining about them.
Good evening, and on, I've got nothing better to do this week. We've had quite a few letters about language.
Dear, I've got nothing better to do. I wish to complain most strongly about the nauseating, obscene, vile, and foul language used in the lunchtime news. How do these f***ing heads ever get their f***ing material past the board of the BBC f***ing governors?
Right, Ron Saunders of Birmingham Football Club. But, Mr. John Roberts of Dunstable Beds writes...
Dear, I've got nothing better to do. Why?
Why what, John?
Why?
Yes, but why what?
Why do all the letters on your program always start why?
Do they?
Yes.
Graham Bakewell has another gripe to air.
Dear, I've got nothing better to do. Can you tell me, please, why the people who read out the letters on your program always make them sound really sarcastic? I'm perfectly calm, and yet I expect when you read my letter out, you'll make me sound like a demented, foaming lunatic.
But it's not only TV programs that come into the firing line.
Dear, I've got nothing better to do. I've been going to bed with our next-door neighbour now for some considerable time. I'd have told you about it earlier, but you're never there.
Writes my wife.
And incidentally, stop reading out my letter in a man's voice.
Sorry. 6-year-old Michael Campbell of Cambria writes...
Dear, I've got nothing. Mummy is helping me write this letter. Me and Teddy want to know why on earth there isn't a series about a private detective with the power of precognition.
But Michael, didn't you see Psychic Cop on Saturday?
Rick Martin presents the cop with the power of extrasensory perception.
You should have known you were going to say that. Shut up,
Quick Martin presents the cop with the power of extrasensory perception, Psychic Cop.
Psychic's the name. Phil Psychic. I was sitting in my office on East 43rd Street. I knew I'd be sitting there. I even knew I'd be telling you I'd be sitting there. I even knew I was going to know I knew I'd be telling you I'd be sitting there. I was putting away my second bottle of bourbon
I even knew the bourbon was going to make me throw up over my pants. That's why I sent him to the dry cleaners. I was sitting in my office with no pants on, wanting to throw up over my bare legs. Then I knew this guy was going to walk in and say, "Are you Phil Psychic?" Sneeze, beg my pardon, and clear his throat.
Are you Phil Psychic? Sorry.
I also knew 2 days later he was going to shoot me to save a lot of time. I shot myself. That's why the next thing I was going to say would be, I threw up over my bare legs. I told you. I also knew the next sketch would be this.
Hospital Radio.
It's Hospital Sports View.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to Doncaster Hospital for this afternoon's operations. The first event of the meeting and the one that's attracting most interest is the 3-minute appendectomy. Here's Michael O'Hare.
Thank you, Peter. In lane one, it's Mr. Babington, chief surgeon and holder of the 15-second vasectomy title. Lane two, Mr. Jones Davis, who recently performed a 2.5-minute sex change operation on someone who just had one and was heavily sued. Lane three, Mr. Ludlow, rather temperamental. He's failed to complete his last 3 operations, and he's not very popular with the 3 of them especially. Here's Peter.
Thank you, Michael. And the official raises the starting pistol. And they're off. And Ludlow off your flower. In goes the scalpel. A beautiful incision for Fox Radwin. Giving yourself plenty of room to work it. And flop. Out come the intestines. Over to you, Michael O'Hare.
And there's a problem there, Peter. They've all been called back. Yes, it's a false start. On come the track officials. Back go the intestines. A few stitches. And we're ready for the restart. Here's Peter.
Michael.
Peter.
Michael.
Peter.
And they're off again, and Babington gets the patient first. He makes 5 feet incision. Over to you, Michael.
Thank you, Peter. And it's Babington from Ludlow and trailing by a yard of intestines. Jones Davis, Peter.
And Ludlow holding something and stolen appendix, and he's trying to force it back in. He's alone. And it's Michael.
And there's tubes and bloody blobby things all over the place, hanging on the table and slithering across the marinating floor as they make their way to the final few seconds.
Michael.
Peter.
I love you. Michael. Peter.
And as they cross the line, Babington holds the appendix alive. And he's a winner by 2 lengths of intestines, Peter.
Well, that's all about, and the race is over. But next weekend, your life in their hands. We'll be covering the 2-minute circumcision relay. Till then, goodbye.
Hospital Radio.
And now on Hospital Radio, a message from all the doctors and nurses to Brian Gladstone in Ward 13. Sorry. But now,
the dramatization by the patients of Ward 16 of the minor Russian classic by Nikol Gligorich, Diary of a Madman.
Monday.
Today I went into St. Petersburg and bought a lettuce. But I had to take it back when I discovered it didn't fit me.
Tuesday.
I sit in my garret, down to my last 5 rubles. I feel my grip on reality is slipping, although my central heating system disagrees.
Thursday.
Something is wrong. This should be Wednesday. My God, have I finally gone mad?
Wednesday.
Here it is. I turned over 2 pages by mistake.
Friday.
My melancholia is lifting. I feel stronger and fitter and more able to cope. I went for a walk in Minsky Park this afternoon and laughed for 4 hours.
Saturday.
Those things that keep appearing through my wall, I've decided to charge them rent. However, when I call round to collect it, they all pretend to be out. All except for the salamander who said he was visiting relatives.
Sunday.
Laughed all day.
Monday.
Rose at noon and spent the afternoon laughing again.
Tuesday.
The bailiff, Anton Gorski, called and took everything. All except my invisible furniture.
Wednesday.
Great sadness. I died today.
Thursday.
Went out to make arrangements for my funeral. My mother is inconsolable.
Friday.
Funeral cancelled when I fail the post-mortem. Can I do nothing right?
Saturday.
This is to be my final entry as I plan to commit suicide tonight by eating a sausage. I only hope and pray that Sonia doesn't save me again. Your obedient servant, Nikol Gligorich.
Sunday.
Damn it.
Thank you.
This is David. Absolutely brilliant. 1-0 Coleman. Saying we're coming to the end. We're coming to the end of the show here. And we come to the end. A certain cliche crosses the line. Just look at that time. Look at that time. Absolutely brilliant. 27 minutes and 33 seconds. And I don't think that Christopher Murray, Nick Maloney, and Nick Wilton realize that if that time is confirmed, it is a new Commonwealth record. And while we wait for the official time, and my word, that was fast. The program was written by Rob Grant and Doug Naylor. And just look at young Peter Brewers. He did the music, beaming all over his face, and he knows it was fast. And there it is. Just look at that. 27.32.5. They smashed it into smithereens. 0.0196 of a second off the previous best. A new British and Commonwealth record. But look at the producer. Your heart goes out to him. Alan Dixon. He was looking for a time of around 1.5 minutes. He is heartbroken.
And now it's time for us to hand over once again to continuity. I don't know how many of you know this, but if you ever wonder why there's always a short pause between programs, it's because Radio 4 is, in actuality, a tiny little room in Broadcasting House. And we all have to cram in here to do the show.
Too right.
Normally, they do the continuity announcement while we're all sloping off. But this particular continuity announcer is rather on the large side.
Large?
So we all have to get out of the room before they can actually fit in. This is why this announcer has to work on radio. A beautiful speaking voice, but quite enormous. look, I can see them now, stood at the door, munching a double-pound cheeseburger, sweating profusely, about to be winched in the room. So, hang on just a minute. Okay, come on. Just mind the wall. That's right. Take it easy. Lower. Watch it. Steady. And we're just about ready now. So I'll just squeeze past. Excuse me. Would you mind those cream cakes, please? Could you just stop eating just for 1 minute while I... Look, I've gone all over my clothes.